All right. So we are working our way through this series, where we're calling it, Is Jesus My? And we're looking at each of the I am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John, where he makes this bold statement, I am, right? The name reserved for God himself. I am, and then pairs it with something. We've been working our way through looking at each of these, and today we come to the one, I am the good shepherd. All right, and this I am statement links right back with what Pastor Marty talked about last week, right? That the I am the gate is kind of embedded in that same passage in John 10. So, in fact, if you'd like, you can start turning to John chapter 10 if you got your own Bible, or if you're like me and cheated and marked it ahead of time. Or if you don't have one, there's some in the chairs in front of you, or you can use your electronic device as well. But we're looking at this statement that Jesus made of I am the good shepherd. But I got to ask you a quick question. Like, how many of you are really, really, really familiar with sheep? All right. Very few of us. Okay. Well, let me tell you a little secret. Growing up in Eastern Washington, in our backfield, guess what was right next door to our field? Sheep, right? And so I can tell you, like, for most of my childhood, all through grade school, and I think until middle school before they finally got rid of them, our neighbors kept sheep. And so their back pasture, they kept sheep. My parents kept boys. Like, they let us in the pasture. The neighbors had sheep. And so every day when we were out there, we'd be playing all along that fence line, barbed wire fence line. We would go along and we would pull wool off of the fence because the sheep would rub against it and leave their wool. And we would collect it because we were going to make something awesome, but then we'd forget where we left it and go off and play. So with all of that experience, like, I am just like you, and I know nothing about sheep other than what they look like. And yeah, that's about it. And so we run into this problem because, just like Pastor Marty talked last week about the door, and this week as we talk about the Good Shepherd, Jesus talking about sheep. And he was talking to people who were very familiar with sheep. They were around them all the time. In Israel, people kept sheep. It was actually a huge part of wealth. If you were wealthy enough, you not only had your own money, but you also invested in sheep and you had flocks. And so they were around it all the time. They were very familiar with them. And so part of our challenge as we go into this, we have to make sure we understand a little bit about sheep too. But before we do that, I want to just read through the passage. So we're going to read in John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And again, I'll highlight the part that we talked about last week as it's embedded in here. But join me in reading in John chapter 10, verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling. So again, here's what we talked about last week. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as a father knows me and I know the father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way you have revealed yourself to us. And Jesus, we pray this morning that as we spend time together, that you would show us who you are. And that we would grow to know you and follow you. We ask this in your name. Amen. So, back to the sheep. How well do we know sheep? Right? Well, here's, let me just ask you this. How many of you have heard this phrase, right? And maybe even in a sermon that somebody was preaching, right? The something along those lines. Sheep are dumb. All right, there we go. All right, we've heard that, right? There's this idea that sheep are dumb because they get themselves into all sorts of trouble, and sheep are dumb. So we just kind of go with this. But the problem is that in this passage, Jesus is calling himself the good shepherd and calls us his sheep. So are we really just reading a passage where Jesus is calling us all dumb? I mean, we might be, but no. Right? See, sheep aren't dumb. Sheep are actually very, very intelligent animals. In fact, sheep have, because people, of course, test this stuff, right? They research all sorts of animals. Sheep are known to have better facial recognition and voice recognition than most other animals. In fact, sheep can get to know someone and know their face and their voice and remember it for up to 5 years. All right? So, I checked. You can't do this in the city limits of Dubuque. But if you were to get a sheep, and you were to, like, raise a sheep and become best friends with a sheep, right? It gets to know and love you. And then you leave for 5 years and come back, it would recognize you, right? And, oh, so sweet, right? No, but so sheep are smart. So why is it that we always get this reputation of being dumb animals? Well, here's where it is. Sheep have this reputation because they are dependent. Sheep are dependent. When they get isolated from their flock, they get themselves into trouble. When a sheep wanders off alone, it doesn't know what to do. So when it gets isolated from its flock or it gets separated from its shepherd and can no longer hear its shepherd's voice, they don't know what to do. Which is why you can read countless stories of sheep who have got themselves stuck or lost and die with just in a short distance from home. Because they get trapped and they don't know what to do because they're dependent. Because sheep like us were made for relationship. And sheep like us were made to be dependent on another. And so God calls us sheep because we are dependent upon him. God calls us sheep because we are made to be living life in community, in relationship with one another. And so I want you to keep that picture of sheep in your mind, not as dumb, but sheep who are dependent on a shepherd, dependent on another. So let's look at our passage here. In verse 1, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep by the sheep pen by the gate does not enter the sheep." I can't even read this morning. This is good. All right? "But very truly I tell you, Pharisees," Jesus starts instructing the Pharisees, and he's talking about this whole analogy of the shepherd. Okay? And then they don't listen well, and so then he changes tack and he talks about the sheep pen and the gate. And then he goes back to this idea of the shepherd, but he's instructing the Pharisees. And who were the Pharisees? These are the religious leaders who were called to be the shepherds of Israel. Right? This idea of a shepherd and a leader being one and the same is true throughout Israel's history, that the leaders of the people were called the shepherds. So this isn't a foreign idea. Not only were they familiar with sheep, but they were very familiar with the idea that the leaders of the people were called to shepherd them. And we also have to remember that as Jesus is instructing the Pharisees, what brought this conversation about is the whole story of chapter 9. And chapter 9 of John is one of my favorite stories because this blind man who Jesus meets, and Jesus puts some mud on his eyes and heals him. But then controversy arises because, of course, Jesus does this on a Sabbath. So the Pharisees and the religious leaders all get upset. They interview this guy and they're asking him all these questions. So he tells them what happened. And he says, I don't know anything. I just know that I was born blind and I met Jesus and now I can see. And so they send him off and they invite his parents in. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Are they questioning, was this guy really born blind? His parents are like, yes, he was born blind. And they ask him, how did it happen? They're like, ask him. So they call him back in and they're pestering him, trying to find all this out. Listen to the guy's question of them. He doesn't know what to do. He just, again, points them, I met Jesus. They're asking him all these questions about how Jesus did it. He asks them, do you want to be his disciples? And of course, the religious leaders in anger respond like, no, we're disciples of Moses. Now again, these people of Israel, they had been waiting for a Messiah. They had been waiting for one, a promised shepherd who was going to come and rescue them. The religious leaders knew it. They knew that they were longing for a shepherd, a strong shepherd like Moses. A strong shepherd like King David who would come and ease the burden of Rome, throw off the yoke of oppression under the Roman Empire and restore Israel to all its glory. They were longing for a shepherd to come. Because as they think back and they know their history, Moses literally led the people out of slavery in Egypt, led them through the wilderness to the promised land. He guided the people. He talked with God. And yet, because of his own sin, Moses was not able to lead the people into the promised land. And so before Moses dies in conversation with God, what does he ask for? In Numbers 27, at the end of his life, Moses requests God, send them another shepherd. Don't leave your people as sheep without a shepherd. He knew that they needed a shepherd, and he called for one. He begged for one. And God was faithful throughout Israel's history. He brought shepherds. But none of them as great as King David, right? A shepherd who guided his people, and he led them as king and into victory over their enemies and to great prominence. And yet even David, in his sin, cared more about himself and protecting his own reputation than the people of Israel. And yet Moses was a great shepherd, and David was a great shepherd. The religious leaders were longing for someone like that, and yet they were called to be the shepherds of Israel. And so not only in this message as Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, not only does he claim what he is, but he also calls them out on what they are. As shepherds who are failing his people. In fact, not even shepherd, but hired hands who run and are only in it for themselves. So what is it mean to be a good shepherd? What is it that Jesus was claiming of himself? Right? Is Jesus really claiming, I am the good shepherd, I am the leader that Israel has been longing for? And so what is it that a shepherd does? I want to look at four points of a good shepherd, and I want you, go ahead and keep a finger or a piece of paper here in John. I want you to turn to Psalm 23, a psalm of David that Jesus knew well, the religious leaders knew well, and I think this psalm will help us understand what it means to be a shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So what are the marks of a good shepherd? What does a good shepherd do? The first thing is a good shepherd guides. Hey, we just read that. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me along right paths. A good shepherd guides and directs. The shepherd knows what's best for the sheep, and so he leads them out during the day. A shepherd would take the sheep out of the pen out of the fold and bring them out to pasture and water and the things that they need. He would guide them in areas that were safe and protect them. And at night, he would bring them back into safety. He watched over the sheep. But notice what Jesus says in John 10. He calls them by name. Right? Sheep who are very smart and recognize voice and recognize face would hear the voice of their shepherd, and they would go out and follow their shepherd as he called them out, and he would lead them. And he knows what it said about a stranger. It says they won't follow a stranger's voice. In fact, they run because they don't recognize that voice. And so as Jesus leads us, as he guides us, he calls us by name and invites us to follow as he cares for us and he guides us in what we need. Again, on their own, sheep live by chance. And when they're separated from the shepherd or flock, they get lost and get in trouble. And so how is it that God guides us? How is it that he leads us? How is it that we hear his voice? Psalm 119, starting in verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed that I will follow your righteous laws. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. God has given us his word. And as his sheep, we are called to listen and to hear the voice of God and to follow him. Do you know and listen to the voice of your shepherd? Do you allow him to guide you, to lead you? But not only that, a good shepherd protects. Going back to Psalms, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Marty talked about this last week, right, that with the analogy of Jesus saying, I am the gates. Right, that the shepherd protects, that he was the door of protection. When danger came, he stood in the way. He literally would build a pen to protect the sheep and sit himself as the door so that no danger could come, no thief, no enemy could come, no animal could attack. And Jesus says that the hired hand runs at the sign of the wolf. Right, when danger comes, the hired hand, who's just there to earn money, flees because he doesn't care about the sheep. He cares about himself. But what does the shepherd do? The shepherd defends because he loves the sheep. And again, we have the analogy of King David, the imagery of King David who cared for his people, who risked his life for the people. He stood in the gap for them and fought for them and defended them. And even in his childhood, as a shepherd himself, he defended his flock, his sheep, from the bear that came and the lion who attacked. In telling King Saul about it in 1 Samuel 17, he said, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or bear came and took a sheep from the flock. I went out after it, attacked it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I grabbed it by its mane, and I struck it, and I killed it. The shepherd defends and protects his sheep. The wolf tries to scatter the flock so the sheep are alone and vulnerable. But Jesus came to rescue and protect. In a prophecy about Jesus, Ezekiel 34, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd who looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Jesus protects his flock. And so as we look at this, is Jesus your good shepherd? The question we have to ask is this: do you submit to the protection of your shepherd? Now, when you combine those first two together, that the guiding and the protecting, we get a look at the third thing: a good shepherd nurtures. And a good shepherd looks after and cares for his sheep. That's why he guides them. That's why he guards over them and protects them, is because he cares for them and he cares for their well-being. He loves them. And a good shepherd desires what is best for his sheep. Yeah, just what we read in Ezekiel 34, right? I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Jesus is the good shepherd. Another prophecy about him in Isaiah 40, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. He is a good shepherd who cares for his flock, who cares for his sheep. Now, keep in mind that nurturing isn't the same thing as getting what we want, right? We all would love a shepherd who gives us exactly what we want, but he cares for our needs. All right, Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I prefer a table away from my enemies, because in the presence of his enemy. Right? He cares for us. He gives us what we need. And what does that often look like when we are cared for in that way, and nurture? It's instruction, right? Just like a parent instructs a child and trains them up and disciplines them, right? That training is never fun, but it's for our good. And that's why in Hebrews 12, quoting the Proverbs, it says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father?" If Jesus is your shepherd, are you being nurtured by the shepherd? Yeah, this final one is something that we're familiar with, and yet Jesus turns it on its head. Because a good shepherd sacrifices. Right? And Jesus says repeatedly, in John 10, that as a good shepherd, he lays down his life for his sheep, right? And we're familiar with that, right? We've got lots of stories, even in the Bible, we have all these stories of leaders who sacrifice their lives for the people, right? They risk their lives, right? Moses, who stuck his neck out before Pharaoh, and Moses, who stood in the gap and pleaded with God on behalf of the people. He was willing to risk it all. King David, who was willing to go with hardly anything against a warrior and a giant. But Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. As a shepherd, he's not only willing, but he does lay down his life. And this is a hero story that we're familiar with, right? Because ever since, almost every hero story leans into this, right? The hero is willing to sacrifice. Maybe the heroes who are willing to die for others. But those are all just reflecting back on Jesus, who willingly laid down his life for us. But this is where Jesus turns it on his head, because Jesus wasn't just willing to lay down his life. Because his life was not just an ordinary life, right? Because Jesus wasn't just some good teacher who came to teach people a new way of thinking. Jesus was God. And he says in that statement, I am the good shepherd. I am God. He declares that of himself. Jesus was God. God in the flesh, descended in bodily form, who lived a perfect life, who did what none of us could do. He perfectly kept God's will. He was holy. And yet then he laid down his life willingly, allowed himself to die in our place, his blood shed for us. But that's not where it stops. Look how John 10 ends, this passage ends. Not only do I have the authority to lay it down, but I have the authority to take it up again. Jesus had authority to lay down his life, but then he took it back up again. That the good shepherd not only died for us, but then defeated death and conquered sin and rose from the dead. Jesus is the good shepherd. And so the question that we have to ask, that all of this comes down to is, do you follow the shepherd? Are you one of his sheep? Now, what does it look like to be one of his sheep? What does it look like to be one of his flock? Jesus says he's gathered us. He's come to rescue each and every one of us, and the invitation is open. Have you responded to his call? Right? The sheep know his voice and follow him. They come out. When he calls, have you responded to his call? Do you submit to his authority? Are you learning to know his voice? And really, as Jesus our shepherd, the invitation is, are you following him? That's the invitation before us. Jesus says, I love you. Jesus died in our place. He has rescued us. He has paid the price for us. And his invitation is, come and follow me. Not because we're perfect. Not because we know what we're doing and we can handle it on our own, but because we absolutely needed a Savior. And he invites us to follow him, to learn to know his voice and follow him and obey. Is Jesus your good shepherd? Is Jesus your protection? Is he your guide? Is he the one who cares for you? Is Jesus your shepherd? And are you willing to follow him all the days of your life? Could you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, that you are the perfect shepherd. You, God, came and did what we could never do. And you love us, and you guide us, and you protect us, and you care for us. God, we can't even fully comprehend all of who you are and what you do. And yet, Jesus, we want to respond to you in obedience, to listen to your voice and to follow you. God, help us to be the sheep of your pasture. Help us learn to walk in obedience with you, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.